TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Now you can save on orders of $150 or more with free shipping. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular conventions year-round or contact them via Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars, they came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 152, recorded May 15th, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don. He's a little bit under the weather, so he's kind of froggy tonight. And also with us is Marani Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Say hello to my little friends, Rumble and Frenzy.
Which is it Rib Fur or Fear Rib?
Sure. I'm not sure. My perspective is off looking at the monitor here, so.
It looks like they're both just white.
Well, on the sides.
Well, it's an appropriate usage of the toys, so.
Yeah. There we go.
But Sideburn 2 may be joining us a little bit later on in the show. He texted me a few minutes ago. He's caught in traffic, so he may or may not make it. But if he does, we're going to be talking a little bit about Combiner War stuff later. And mute your mic, Don.
I did.
No, we heard it.
Oh, sorry.
Ever booger and all.
I'm sorry. Apparently, my microphones did not switch like it was supposed to.
That's all right.
I think you must have hit video instead.
Nope, yeah, really. Yeah. You muted your turned off your video. But anyway, he's got Wave 3 Combiner Wars Deluxes and Groove in hand, so hopefully he can join us later on and check that out. We'll check those out. It kind of lends a little bit to what we're going to be talking tonight. It's our subject is a little bit broad, but and a little bit general at the same time. We're going to be talking about the quality control on modern figures and also the complexity of them. We've went in some extremes in later years, or in recent years, rather. We've went from extremely complex toys during the movie lines to now rather simplistic toys with the new RID figures, and it even kind of bleeds over into the Combiner Wars stuff a little bit. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Hopefully I don't crash tonight because my main computer, the video card is going out on it and it's an iMac. So it's going to be pretty costly to fix. And right now I'm on my 10-year-old laptop. So hopefully everything's jiving. That's why I'm kind of looking down, not up, because my camera is like up there and my computer's down here. So if I'm looking down and not looking at you, that's why. Do want to thank everyone for listening, tonight. If you are watching us on YouTube or listening to us on your listening device, such as an iPod or your cell phone, and you have a Twitter account, Facebook, tell people that you're listening to TFYLP and be sure to use hashtag TFYLP We'd love to group. I believe Jim is going to be checking out the Facebook group on a periodic basis. And if you have any comments or questions during the show, there is a topic going in our Facebook group regarding this show. And if you want to comment on it, post in that. Or I'll check my phone periodically for Twitter. So if you want to tweet us, TFYLP, I'll be monitoring that. Our show is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, as well as Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan and catch him at the convention of your choice in your area. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Let's talk a little bit about complexity. Let's launch off with that, because that's probably the big topic, I guess, we got tonight. Don, you want to tell us your thoughts on complexity in recent years, how we've gone from like super hard, difficult puzzles down to basically G1-esque transformations?
Well, I think when you talk complexity, any collector in the past, say, 10 years, let's say 10 years, 2007,
yeah,
and you say complexity, the first thing you think of is the Michael Bay movie figures. I think those ushered in a whole new level of complexity that at the time people were really wanting to see on the collector level. They wanted these more intricate transformations, these more realistic things. And I believe as the movies progressed, we saw a natural evolution of the figures, you know, getting complexity as you gain sizes. But I think around Revenge of the Fallen, when you got your leader class Optimus Prime, that's the figure I think everybody points at and says, that is a phenomenally awesome figure that I never transform. Because I have about 9 versions of that figure because it is such a visually striking figure. It's one of the best looking, with all due respect to the 2007 Optimus, which you couldn't have, which if you did not have the 2007 Optimus, you couldn't have had the technology built on top of that. I love the stealth, the night watch version of the 2007 Prime. Love that figure. But the 2000 Revenge of the Fallen Optimus in all the different colors looks great. But I've never
Buster Prime. I love the Buster Prime.
The Buster Prime.
The one with all the chrome.
Yeah, the one that Toys R Us had there for a while, that two or three years ago, was $50. The Jetwing Prime, I believe, that they had for their one of their specials. But I never transformed them. At that point, I got to the point where, okay, I can't transform these figures literally without watching a video review or taking 20 to 30 minutes and trying to do it. And I have never combined Jetfire and Optimus Prime. I sat down with both of them and the instructions, and I was like, hell no. I do not have time to do this right now, and I never went back to it. So I think what we're doing now is we're seeing a trend back to a simpler time, like with the new season of Robots in Disguise. But a lot of collectors need to remember, we've had our collector-friendly transformations, our more extravagant transformations with Transformers Prime toys, to a degree. The Viacon, I think everybody will agree that like Prime, the Prime Viacon, not the first edition, but the second version, is one of the finest figures they have ever done as far as a blend of complexity, but still simple enough to sit there and enjoy, and looks good in both molds. So I like a complex Transformer, but I'm glad to see it skewing back down a little bit more towards fun without being frustrating.
Well, you know, and I think it's interesting, or not interesting, but important to point out that by simpler transformations, we don't mean, super easy, like one step, even though that is included in this. But Generation 1 is largely pointed at as a very simple line of figures. Most figures, 7 or 8 steps, you were done, and it just stood up, and there you go. With the exception of things like Six Shot and a few others. But now we get the RID figures, and this is the Legends figure, but like Steeljaw here, like 5 or 6 steps and he's done. Mm-hmm. And it's a perfectly satisfactory figure. We had really complex, I guess Transformers throughout the ages kind of does a wave, as it were. You start out simplistic, then you go a little more complex, and then they start realizing, hey, we're getting too hard. That didn't sound right, but let's back off and make them simpler, and then they get hard again, and I know Jim's just bursting at the seams here.
Gotta stay professional here.
Yeah, I know Chad is probably listening to us in his truck right now, and he's just getting all giddy because Llama Llama Pig Bang, but
he probably just swerved with laughter.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Hey, Durin, we've already got a message from some guy named Diecast 2. He mentioned on Twitter, do you think engineering costs along with parts count is another reason why the figures are getting easier to transform?
That is a good point. I believe it is, personally, because parts count, we know, plays a large factor in not only complexity but also price point. Because it goes from cost of production down to the retail marketing standpoint. Whenever you're selling the figures at we've known from those of us who have attended many BotCon panels where Hasbro has talked to us about why figures cost as much as they do. Where am I going with this? My brain is just, this weekend is like crazy for me. I apologize ahead of time. The cost is, they have a certain cost. Let's say Voyagers are $25 and they need to meet that price point. And then they design the figure, and then they have to look at how much it would cost to produce that figure and would it fit in that price point if they were to produce it at the current design.
Which is why we didn't get breakdown in the United States.
Exactly. And also, it's sometimes they decide to shrink down the figure, as in the Classics Galvatron mold. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, it was originally designed to be a Voyager figure, but because of complexity and price point and all that, it was shrunk down to deluxe.
And then there were too many tanks, which was
it could still do the cannon mode, though. It was still capable of that, even though they downscaled it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Sidecoder from Capture Prey is texting me about Carolina Barbecue because he's in South Carolina right now. Yes.
Well, everyone knows if it's not Lexington vinegar-based, it's not as good.
Great barbecue, great prices, great service.
Yes.
And I just opened the floodgates on that one. I'm sorry. But I'm from the Lexington area, so I'm slightly biased on my barbecue.
The only Lexington I know is Kentucky. Go Wildcats. But anyway.
But yeah, but you're right, Durin. It's just the complexity and the parts counts, which you're talking about on a budget. Flip that around to third party, where they're not quite constrained by the same budget things.
They're not constrained at all by those budgets. I mean,
yeah. So
if a figure, they don't design their from the way I understand the way third parties go, they don't design aiming at a certain price point. They if they do, then they have it. Okay, we want it between. It's a much broader, I believe, is what it is. We want it between $100 and $200 instead of let's just make this figure whatever it costs is what it costs. Although I'm sure that's probably what they did with Utopia. I really don't know how else you can justify a $500 toy, but yeah, they don't have the same general constraints as Hasbro does. And a lot of, to all those people out there saying, well, third party so expensive, too expensive and everything. Hasbro does it much cheaper. That's because Hasbro produces way, way more quantities than third party companies do. You know, third party companies may make 10,000, Hasbro will make 100,000, you know, so there's a big difference there. I know we've talked about that on previous shows, so we won't beat that dead horse, and I can't talk tonight. I know I've not been drinking. I swear. Scout's on.
Yeah, that's his story.
Yeah.
Last
night was a different story.
Oh, okay. One thing I think may be a factor in that is what's happened with the economy over this same time span as well. Because if you've noticed a trend as the economy in the United States especially worsened, we ended up seeing a little bit of a change in the size. Like if you remember, I think it was the 2012 generations or whatever that had the War for Cybertron, they were downscaled.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. So you had like the first War for Cybertron Bumblebee from, I think, 2010 or whatever. And then the next one, which was the Fall of Cybertron, Optimus was smaller than that Bumblebee. And that just didn't make sense to a lot of people. But they had to downscale, and the prices, I believe, remained about the same. But then we started returning to the larger scale for the most part, even up through lines like Combiner Wars currently. And you notice the prices went up from $10.99 to like $12 or $14.99, and now they're like $17.99 a lot of places for a deluxe in less than a decade. Yeah. And I think that might be a factor, too, because not only is there the economy with the retailers and the manufacturers have to pay, there's also the cost of the oil and all that's processed in order to make the plastic.
Right. And also, one thing is you're going to find a lot of counterbalances in the fact that we're getting slightly larger figures, but in some cases there are more hollow parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are also, like for Robots in Disguise Series 2, which is currently airing, we've gone back to larger figures, but they're also simpler, so there's less parts counts. So yeah. There's ways of balancing out.
Grab an example real quick. Keep talking. Okay. I want to see something here.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's cyclical, but you also have within a certain time period, you're going to have some figures that are larger, but have less transformation to it, like the Robots in Disguise figures. So you still get a larger, more of a standard deluxe size figure. But then you've also got stuff like the Combiner Wars, Jim, that are still simple, maybe not as simple as some of the RID stuff, maybe with a few more hollow parts, but they've got more engineering because of the combiner technology built in, the ports and everything else. So you've got all the stuff here within three different lines. You've got three different things going on to keep within that same $8 price range.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an example a lot of people look at. This is Robots in Disguise Warrior Class Steeljaw. This is one of the better figures in the line, in my opinion. But as you can see, the underside of the tail, completely hollow. Inside of the legs, hollow. You know, it's just extremely, I mean, inside the arm, the forearm there, hollow. And then you have, we'll go back to the beginning, Generation 1. Here's one of my favorites, Sludge. And yes, he's got hollowness on the inside of his wrist, but that's because the fist goes in there. As you can see, the insides of the legs, there's pieces that cover it up because, you know, I mean, it's just designed. I mean, this piece serves no function other than to cover hollowness. Mm-hmm. And even on the inside of the tail, there's like very little hollowness at all on this toy. Mm-hmm. And with the exception, you know, you might look up inside there, but then again, it serves a function. It covers mm-hmm. the head. So, you know, back in the day, they obviously were aware of hollowness, but mm-hmm. they took measures to cover it up. Nowadays, it's just, if it's right there, to me, hollowness is unforgivable if it's on the front of the figure. If it's behind, if it's on the backside of the figure, I can live with it. If it's on the profile of a figure, I find that's unforgivable. For example, Crosscut and Skids, great figures if you're looking at them straight ahead. But if you turn it slightly to the side, the inside of the entire freaking leg is hollow.
And you can say the same thing about Jetfire, the recent Jetfire.
It's all cost cutting. It's all cost cutting measures is all it is.
Yeah, I agree. I've noticed that like with paint applications, for instance, those were starting to become more and more minimal until recently. We started noticing a lot more of the hollowness, like we were talking about in the arms and legs and things. But paint applications seem to have made kind of a little bit of a comeback.
Well, look at Reveal the Shield Jazz. The uh-huh. entire back half of the car was practically unpainted.
Yeah.
But you also had a more complex figure with a higher parts mm-hmm. count. Yep. Now we have something like RC. You've got whichever version you might have, you know, you've still got a fair amount of paint on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you are looking at something of a simpler parts count and a transformation compared to those Reveal the Shield figures from 4 years ago. So again, it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to me personally, hollowness does not make or break a figure. I will buy a figure even if I know it has hollowness to it, but. I would prefer it and didn't have it, but I think today, in today's lines of Transformers, we're getting way, way, way too liberal with the hollowness on them, and being spoiled by Masterpiece and a lot of these third-party companies where the detail and the quality is just in your face, and then you go buy the retail figures and you're paying so much more, it seems like, than ever before. I know the economy is dictates a little bit of it. You know, a lot of people argue that the price of a deluxe today, if we're paying $15 to $16, is the equivalent of paying $10 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that 100%, but I still, to me, $15 is $15. And if I'm spending $15 on a figure this size, and then it's full of hollowness, it's really light, there's no die cast, very little paint apps. I mean, this RID Steeljaw, I mean, he's got like a couple, maybe three or four black paint apps. There are a couple silver paint apps on his face and two yellow eyes, very minimal. The only sticker is the Decepticon insignia on his chest for the barcode thing. That's it.
Yeah.
But then you get a third party figure or a Masterpiece, and every little detail is painted on,
mm-hmm.
and you get spoiled as a collector. Yeah. You really do,
and it's also the fact that you've got it's sort of this imaginary line in your head where certain toy classes need to be within to be a purchasable option. Like, if you look at the robot, again, I'm not slamming the Robots in Disguise figures because they're simple, because they're trying to get back to basics. Because here's a newsflash. Hasbro sells toys to kids, not the collectors. Mm-hmm. We're a part of their business, but we're not the main part.
We're a vast minority.
So yes. Yes, but still, you know, I have no problem with these figures being simpler. I wish they didn't cost $15. I wish they were a little bit bigger. I wish they had a little more oomph to them. But if you look at an RID toy now for $15, and then 5 years ago, you could have bought War for Cybertron Prime, which had a lot more mass to the figure for the same price. You feel kind of gypped, which I can understand, but again, a lot has changed in that 5 years. So we all need to remember, Hasbro could be doing a lot more, like scaling back down to the Fall of Cybertron scale and still charging us the same much. At least we are getting it a little closer back to these scales that we got used to for so long.
Yeah, I think, well, they're just sacrificing some of the that's why we're seeing more an increase in the hollowness, is because they're giving us bigger figures, but it's about the same amount of plastic that was in the smaller figures. Mm-hmm. They're just, because if you notice some of these figures, not only are they more hollow, but the plastic is also thinner. Which goes to some of the Combiner Wars figures. And we'll talk a little bit about quality now, too. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just want to say, recently, until the end of the month, Kmart, if you have a Kmart near you, that still is in operation, obviously, they have RID Warrior figures on sale for $9.99, which to me, that is a perfect price point for those figures. Because there's,
I was just in a Kmart not even 3 hours ago.
And I picked up Grimlock, and for $9.99, I think Grimlock is a perfectly fine toy for $9.
$15.
Yeah, I picked up. I had the local Walmart price match them because they had an Optimus at Kmart, but someone stole his axe. So, you know, I went and had Walmart price match the sale thing. But I will be honest, I don't think Prime is a $10 figure because he is so simple. But again, within that same line, you're going to have budget. It's all perceptions. If I had paid $15 for Grimlock, I don't think I would like him as well.
That begs a question, though. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry. Just on that same point, though, I think what part of it is too. With regard to our perception of price is the fact that prices, for the most part, remain static for so long. If you look like at the late 90s through the mid to late 2000s even, you know, RID, Beast Machines, Cybertron, Energon, all those, you're automatically going to snap to smallest figures like Minicons or Basics are going to be, about $6-$7. Deluxes, you're talking $9-$10. Megas or whatever you call the next class up, Voyager, we're 15 to 17 for how long? Then you go up to Ultras and then Leaders or Supers. Those are 40, you know, right? But for so long, RID Optimus Prime and Magnus and Scourge even at Toys R Us were the $40 price point. You know,
nowadays they'd be like 80 or 90.
Yeah. Beast Machines Megatron, the dragon cloak thing, was 17.
Oh god!
Yeah,
I have that. That's like my only Beast Machines figure.
That figure was not a mega class figure. Honestly, it never was.
They had the wings spread out. I don't know. I like the figure. Of course, I like Beast Machines. I'm a rare breed indeed. But I like to make sure for the go back a little further to Beast Wars even. Leader class or Supreme, whatever you call it, Optimal Optimus was $40 at KB Toy Stores. Remember, I went with a buddy of mine, and he picked it up there at KB's. And now you look at a $40 figure at the store, and you're talking something that you know is in a box maybe this big.
Generations Jetfire.
Yeah. So I think that we became so accustomed to those prices that now when we see what Hasbro or whatever other factor has
prices
been
change.
In the, adjusting yeah. the price for inflation, we're just taken aback and we're
yeah. You're right, but you've also got companies such as Toys R Us
mm-hmm.
that have marked Battle War Deluxes up to $20 a piece.
Yep.
And you have to wonder.
Toys R Us can't be taken into account whenever you're considering price because they know adult collectors go in there and buy. They have been proven to price gouge. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no reason whatsoever that Masterpiece Soundwave just a year and a half ago can come out for $120?
Yeah.
And then Year of the Goat Soundwave, which is arguably has less deco than the original release, and it's like $50 more.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. There's no reason for that. The Laser Prime, just 10 or 15 years ago for Robots in Disguise was released as Scourge with way more paint apps and everything for what? $30?
$40.
Yeah. And now he's like triple that.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, I could see maybe 80. I could almost see that, but whenever you can go and get a vintage Laser Prime mint in box, like I did, I think I gave $40 for mine. And mm-hmm. it's vintage. Stickers unapplied, you know, it makes you think. But Don made me think about something else a moment ago. Do we equate price with complexity? Is that a error that the general populace makes? Is that the error that we as collectors make? Does complexity and price go hand in hand? Does it have, if you pay $50 for a toy, does it have to be complex to be good?
Jim, you go ahead. You go first.
Okay. I would say on the Toys R Us point, keep in mind that they are a specialty store geared for only toys, and the majority of their competition is fundamentally dead. There are no more big chain toy stores besides that. They're pretty much a monopoly. So they do what they want and they get away with it. No, nobody can really say much of anything. But as far as complexity and equating that to price, I think we do that subconsciously because I think we associate price with complexity with quality overall. And that's what I think we're accustomed to. Because you think back to, what would be a good example, maybe even alternators. The 2004 to 2000 what six or seven series, we were paying $20 and we were getting a 1/24th scale licensed replica vehicle. Had the moving steering wheel, the axles, and everything, and these complex transformations that were mind blowing for its time. I mean, I remember the first time we saw. I'm pretty sure it was the same day that Unicron was debuted for Armada that we saw the preview or the prototype for Alternator Smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
On TFW there, and everybody went nuts. They're like, oh, my God, this is what Generation 1 was supposed to be. You know, you got the ankles that were articulate, you know, the hands that could open and close. The engine became the gun, on, and, you know, and it was only $20. And that was part of what I think helped us to become used to that, and in a way, I think spoiled us to a capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, another example would be, I don't know, one of the wadded balls of tinfoil, Revenge of the Fallen Mixmaster, which is insanely, insanely complex. He has flaps in places where most Transformers don't have places, okay? And a lot of times I saw people take Mixmaster back because their kids couldn't transform it. I saw repackaged or just tossed in the box Mixmasters at the store.
Well, and it also doesn't help whenever the robot form is kind of ambiguous. I mean, you got it's not a typical two arms, two legs, one head, bipedal robot. Whenever you got these spider robots, it's got giraffe necks and lanky arms, and it's difficult to transform something when you don't really have an idea what the frick it's supposed to look like. When
well, you get I don't know, but that gives me an amazing idea for a Fusor, though. A spider with a giraffe.
Yeah. Well, whenever you're one twist away from having it look like Transmutate, there's a problem. But
yeah.
But I think what the whole thing is that
kind of like this guy. Vaguely transmutate-ish.
Vaguely.
Animated jazz for our listeners.
But I think we do that exactly, but we also feel like if I paid this much for a toy, it should have a certain amount of engineering built in to help justify what I'm paying for it, and I get something unique and different out of it. Now, but then again, if you go much, there's a comfort zone for everybody of that range that's different. If you go above that comfort zone, you get stuff like Cybertron Starscream, which is still available in Toys R Us's. Yeah. So you get a large.
Both the original release and the reissue.
And the reissue. You get a large, heavy-ish figure that is extremely simple. But at that price point, again, past that certain mental blockade where you realize to be that big at that price, you've got to be simpler. You kind of understand it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, like Generations Jetfire, you know, I've got Kronos, as y'all can see. I've got Kronos right there. I think visually
Guys, I hate to interrupt real quick. I am getting a lot of crash errors on my window, so if the feed stops, it's not my fault. I'm trying to fix it, but continue as you're going. If we crash, that's why. It's my fault because my computer is going wonky.
Yeah, I noticed a few minutes ago that your video froze a little bit, but we were still hearing you flawlessly. So, yeah.
You know, to me...
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, to me, visually, Kronos is a better visual representation of Jetfire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or I should say Skyfire. Skyfire, I should say.
Yeah, Skyfire.
But once I got Generations Jetfire, I really did not have a problem with him. Again, I got him for a little bit less than retail with all the sales that were going on at the time for a lot of figures. But to me, that's kind of like the balance you're looking for. 30 to 35, give or take, on sale for that size figure and the complexity it does have. That's kind of about what I expect to pay for that figure with the parts counted heads. Granted, I wish some of the hollow parts weren't showing in robot mode, but again, you learn to, you know, accept sacrifices. But everybody's different. That's the problem, is because you can't say in one closed group of people and having a conversation, well, my threshold is this kind of figure for this much money. And then someone will say, no, if we're paying past $20, we should be getting off the enders because they've done that in the past. So it's just, it's all based on personal preference with what we're used to paying or used to wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just occurred to me when you said alternators again, that was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
That just hit me. I don't know.
And remember when we thought, and we discussed this on RFC, because Diecast and I, both have Fierce Attack, which is the last Warbitron figure to form their Bruticus. And this came up talking about the Vans Project add-on set from a couple years ago. It's the same thing as with Alternators. We thought it will not get any better than this. alternators, fans projects, Bruticus add-on kit, all that, that's as good as we're ever going to get. If nothing can beat this, then we get Masterpiece.
Yep.
And then we get...
Quit rubbing it in my face.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not doing intro quotes. That would
now, be now, here's a question. That exhaust there, is that the paint-altered one?
No. The short version of the story is a friend of the show on RFC bought some of JD's stuff from Brian.
Sure.
And he actually had a friend in Japan that had two extra exhausts he did not need. And I got one at call. Got them at cost plus shipping. Well, regular retail plus shipping.
Nice.
So I got mine for $70.
Fantastic.
So that was just kind of how that worked out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, it was all for helping out, JD's wife, his widow. But, it's like third-party Dinobots. I'm buying the fans' toy versions mm-hmm. because they scale best with Masterpiece Grimlock. And unless their Grimlock does something incredibly awesome, I don't plan on buying their Grimlock for any reason at this point, just because I have a perfectly good Masterpiece Grimlock. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to pay that much money for those figures because of the heft, the price, the mm-hmm. parts count, the engineering, and being fans toys. I don't have Quakewave, but the goodwill that they banked with Quakewave caused me to trust them enough with Scoria.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Scoria, I picked up Soar. And now I'm just waiting on Sever.
Now, I don't have any of the other ones, but I do have Stomp on pre-order from Capture Prey, and yeah. I am totally going to get Stomp, and I may get Sever, even since I've had a chance to mess with it. I know what to expect from him. But and speaking of sludge, mine just fell off the desk. But
well, he just found out he's a real dinosaur again. He faded. Yeah.
He exists again.
I'm a real and boy. Monica,
guys, I hate to cut this short tonight, but my computer is going crazy, and it keeps prompting me to update, and I cannot update because my computer is so old. So, and it keeps going dink, dink, dink every 30 seconds.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's going to crash or what. Any of you guys have any closing thoughts? We'll kind of keep it short, and this thing is just not going away.
Just one real quick thing I wanted to do on the topic is just give you a little visual example here of kind of what we've been talking about. Is right here, this figure is the Human Alliance Jazz, okay, as far as scale, complexity, and parts count and everything. That's nigh unto a masterpiece. I mean, you pull a switch on the back of his head and his visor flips back up inside of his head.
Yeah.
You know, that was, what, $25? Mm-hmm. And these were all around the same time period, keep in mind, about Revenge of the Fallen era. I've also got the animated Deluxe Jazz, which was, I want to say, $9.99 or $10.99, which was your regular deluxe price point for so many years. And as far as... you know, complexity and price point and parts count and all that. It was pretty well, you know, what we were used to. And then another Jazz is the little G1 looking Legends here, and I think that was $7.99, something like that. But even so, I mean, we didn't really have much in the way of hollowness except for like the arms and legs, but that was just because they had to fold in where they did. Again, mm-hmm. with the purpose-driven usage of the hollowness instead of just having it just a habit. But that was one example I thought might help illustrate better what we were referring to.
Well, as far as me, I think the best thing, any final words is going to be this. Everyone needs to remember Hasbro is trying to get us these products out at a price that will sell, that will make them money so they can keep and stay in business. so on and so forth. So whether we disagree with the price of whatever a certain line is or not, you know, we have to remember they are a business. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm just saying there's no sense in getting frustrated if the costs keep rising and the figures shrink. Sometimes it'll come back around again. Just judge the line for yourself. If you think, like for me, Robots in Disguise is not a $16 a piece line, but for $10 to $12, $13, I think it is. But again, that's just your opinion based on what you feel a line is worth. But don't get really upset that, oh, it should always be this, because you got too many factors outside working its way in.
Think of it this way. Just like the Transformers franchise and line as a whole, for its entire history, has always been about change, so too must the price change.
And prices have changed since the beginning. I mean, you don't expect to pay the same price year after year after year after year after year. I know we want to. I know we really, really want to. But you can't expect figures to stay at the same price year after year after year because things change. I mean, you see what we got back in Generation 1. Mm-hmm. For, you know, like the Autobot cars, I think were, what they retail for, $9.99, something like that, $10.
Sounds about right.
You know? And then you had like Prime and Megatron at like $30. Mm-hmm. You know, how many of us would die to have those at those price points now? And you see what the quality that we had. You know, I mean, they were well built figures for the most part, and
accessories, die-cast metal,
stickers. Yeah. But see, the thing is times change, economics change. You can't expect things to stay the same. And for those people, I've heard the argument, well, the shelves are being clogged with the Titan figures and stuff like that. I talked to Rick Alvarez, who's been on the show before. You know, he worked for Hasbro, he was in on the discussions whenever they were talking about bringing the dang, this stupid error just won't go away. He was talking about the Titan figures whenever they first started using them, and the reason that they is so distracting. I hate you, Google. Go to hell. Really. Damn, this is so freaking distracting. It's every 30 seconds. But the Titan figures were originally designed for like the Spanish market, where they excel extremely well, and they were budgeted for that. It doesn't cost them hardly anything. It's pennies on the dollar to just repackage them and bring them here to the U.S. The tooling's already made. The tooling is paid for by selling them in other markets. Whatever they sell for here is just icing on the cake. So it's not like they spent budget on those figures that should have went into a deluxe or could have went into a deluxe, because it's a totally different market that they were aimed at and essentially aimed at here, you know, and it's just a cash grab is all it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yes. So you can't blame today's simplistic transformations and hollowness and quality problems. I know we really have a lot to talk about on quality problems, and we'll probably talk about that another time. And I really, really hate cutting a show short. But Google has other plans for me, and it doesn't help that I'm on a 10-year-old laptop that is like old. The thing is that quality control needs to stay at a certain level in order for us to want to continue buying the toys. You know, you don't want to get a toy and take it out of the package and the legs be floppy and loose. I know my Combiner Wars breakdown, the legs on it just don't want to stay. No, it's not breakdown. It's a dead end. I'm sorry. The legs on it, whenever he's in combined form, does not want to stay together. You know, I mean, you can put them together. They might stick, but you move the arm and then they split. Right down where the peg plugs in.
I noticed the same issue with breakdown, actually, now that you mention him. I almost wonder if maybe some of the pegs that peg into the holes might be a little bit off on the diameter. But it seems like you almost have to force the legs together with the palms of your hands just to get it to stay in the vehicle mode without a.
That sounds so damn kinky. But anyway.
I know. If you don't want there to be a giant gaping hole, you need to force the legs shut.
Don't listen, Matthew. They're talking about bad stuff.
you also have the Blackjack issue with the pegs. It just won't fit on Motormaster's chest.
That's because the holes are too big.
Yeah,
I know, too small. Holes are too small. Pegs are too big.
And that kind of quality control doesn't need to.
Well, I think that was more of a design oversight than a QC issue. Mm-hmm. Than just, you know.
Well, is it not quality control if they don't catch that at the design level?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, that's true.
I think if the main lines fail us, there's always the Happy Meal toys.
But that is going to McDonald's.
Well, yeah, but they're a buck a piece.
I like Hardee's.
Than that, you know?
I like Hardee's and Wendy's.
Hardee's. I used to work for him for about a few years.
Yes.
I can still make a meme burger,
though. I do want to apologize for the shortened show tonight, but...
That's what she said.
Check us out on Twitter, at TFYLP. Of course, tftalk.net/tfylp.com takes you to the same place, as well as Facebook, Instagram. We also have a Pinterest page. I know we don't talk about that much. It's kind of new, but we have a Pinterest page. We have Tumblr, basically any social media, we're on there somewhere, any of the major ones. So check us out on there. And we're going to be talking in one of the coming weeks. I don't know if it's next week. It might be the week after. We're going to be talking about, yeah, we're trying for next week. But we're going to be talking about what happens to our collections after we die. And this was... spurned by an article that was recently written by the Maz for his TF Source article. And it really got me to thinking, you know, what is going to happen to my collection after I pass away? You know, I mean, I'm in a somewhat dangerous job. So, you know, and I nearly died at it 2 years ago. So it's highly possible that I could buck the kick it soon. What's going to happen to all these plastic things back here? You know, and it's a really, really grim but need to talk about thing for fellow collectors. And we're going to try to talk about it soon. We're going to try to get the Maz on if we can see what his thoughts are.
We got the Massey
yes,
on.
Yes, and we have our Massey attack tonight. So
yay!
He was requesting a Massey attack, so this is as close as we're going to get.
Yes. That works. But, hey, maybe we can even get Diecast on here in that show, and we can just do a whole big round table on it, because it is a really heavy topic, and it's touched this fandom more times than I can count in recent years. So it's something that needs to be talked about. So we're going to bring it up. But, guys, I want to thank you, Don, Jim, for joining us this week. Any of y'all have anything to say before I shut her down tonight?
No. Hopefully we'll have some BotCon news for you by this time next week as well.
Keeping our fingers crossed.
Yes. Yeah, with registration going up, hopefully. So we'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. Wait and see what plays out on TFYLP.
It's always a box of chocolates. Yeah. Hey, maybe that's a new catchphrase. No. Jim, you got anything?
I just wanted to make a really quick, brief mention of something that popped up the other day on, I think it was TFW or the AllSpark, one of them, that Takara Tomy revealed a silhouette for their upcoming Defensor, and on the right leg it appeared to be the silhouette of a motorcycle, too large of a scale to be the Legends Groove. So the general consensus is that there's probably a deluxe Groove in the pipeline, which would make sense given it could also be
for
Afterburner, the Technobot, which they've already confirmed they're doing a Computron some point in the future.
And we discussed this on a private group that I'm a part of. We could also be seeing that mold coming up in our female combiner later on down the road.
I would be so okay with that.
Yeah. So, you know, so the molds we're going to be seeing over the next 6 months, we could well be seeing again for Victorion.
Sure.
Well, James Galtier, listener James Galtier, he says that he doesn't know what the hype is. I think Dead End is the worst of the bunch. Design, aesthetically, I think he's the best person, but he does have some design issues. I agree and also disagree on that.
Yeah.
But yeah. With that, I believe we'll close it down tonight. Sorry again for the short show, but then again, there's some of those that ask for a shorter show, and here is a rather short show. We went about an hour. We normally go about two. So, We did come forth with a valiant effort tonight, I hope.
Yes, we can hold our heads high.
I mean, if you had look at this. I mean, literally, I'm like on a laptop, and it's like ancient. And so, yeah. And now my camera angle's all screwed up. But guys,
sorry about the size of the show. We hope we made up for it in the presentation.
Yes, that's what she said. But anyway, you guys have a nice evening, and we will see you next week on TFYLP. For Headmaster Don and Marani Prime, this is Weird Wolf signing off for TFYLP, episode number 152.
Doodles.
See ya.
Later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.